grace that is Christ's gift to us, the love of God, and the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, eternal goodness, immeasurable love, you place your gifts before us. We eat and are satisfied. Fill us and this world in all its need with the life that comes only from you, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Please be seated.
A reading from Exodus. The whole congregation of the Israelites complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots and ate our fill of bread. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "I'm going to rain bread from heaven for you, and each day the people shall go out and gather enough for that day. In that way I will test them, whether they follow my instructions or not." Then Moses said to Aaron, "Say to the whole congregation of the Israelites, draw near to the Lord, for he has heard your complaining." And as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the Israelites, they looked toward the wilderness, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. The Lord spoke to Moses and said, "I have heard the complaining of the Israelites. Say to them, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall have your fill of bread, and then you shall know that I am the Lord your God. In the evening quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the layer of dew lifted, there on the surface of the wilderness was a fine, flaky substance, as fine as frost on the ground. When the Israelites saw it, they said to one another, 'What is it?' For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, 'It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat.'" Word of God, word of life. Let us pray Psalm 78 responsively. So God commanded the clouds above and opened the doors of heaven. So mortals ate the food of angels. God provided for them food enough. Raining down flesh upon them like dust, and flying birds like the sand of the seas. The people ate and were well filled, for God gave them what they craved. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. A reading from Ephesians. I, therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. But each of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it is said, when he ascended on high, he made captive itself a captive. He gave gifts to his people. When it says he ascended, what does it mean? But that he had also descended into the lower parts of the earth. He who descended is the same one who ascended far above the heavens so that he might fill all things. The gifts he gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until all of us come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. We must no longer be children, tossed to and fro and blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness in deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, so each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth in building itself up in love. Word of God, word of life.
The Holy Gospel according to John. When the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were beside the sea, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum looking for Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For it is on him that God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to perform the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "What sign are you going to give to us then, so that we may see it and believe you? What work are you performing? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Then Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." The Gospel of the Lord. Most part of last month, I had two of my nieces from the Midwest staying with me. And I have to be honest and say that before they arrived, I was a little nervous. I was concerned, what if they were fussy eaters? They would starve to death at my house. But I was blessed. These girls wanted to try everything, even foods they had never tasted before. Tofu, couscous, and eggplant became their favorite foods in a matter of 3 weeks. They wanted it all. If they had been in the wilderness with Moses, they would have been eager to taste the manna. That is, unless they knew what it really was. Biblical experts have argued for a long time about manna. In the book of Numbers, we read, "Now the manna was like coriander seed, and its color was like the color of gum resin," whatever that is. "The people went around and gathered it, ground it in the mills, or beat it in mortars, then boiled it in the pots and made cakes of it. And the taste of it was like the taste of cakes baked with oil. When the dew fell on the camp in the night, the manna would fall with it." When I was in the seminary, I took a trip to the Holy Land, and we were in the Sinai Desert, and we saw the Bedouin people of that region eating what they call manna. They still gather it up early in the morning for their daily use and either like spread it on bread like jam, or else they let it dry out and then grind it into meal and make cakes with it. The Hebrew people said, "What is it?" when they saw this manna. And my seminary group looked at our seminary professor and our Hebrew professor and said, "What is it?" And Dr. Luker loved to explain the graphic details of the Old Testament. He was very happy to be telling us about what manna is, because he wanted to talk about bug spit. In the Sinai Desert, there is a little insect that lives off of the sap of the tamarisk tree. And because the sap is rather sparse in some of the nutrients, the bug has to eat a lot of it. And they spit out the extra in a yellowish white, I guess that's the color of gum resin, a yellowish white ball of juice. And that they spit it out on the leaf, and it rolls down the leaf and drips off of the leaf of the tree, falls to the ground, and as the moisture is evaporated, there remains these little flakes, like fish food, little flakes like that are almost luminescent. And I guess that it's filled with carbohydrates and sugars, and it would be rather nutritious and very sweet. If you like bug spit, if you can get past that idea of what it really is. Now, some people today do not like this explanation of what manna is. Not necessarily because they're opposed to bug spit, but they don't like a natural explanation. They feel that it takes away from the miracle of manna. But I don't think it does. Does manna have to come out of nowhere in order to qualify as a miracle? The miracle in this story is what God does. God heard the complaining of the people, and he told Moses what he was going to do. Now, we know this story. Most of us have heard this story before, and we're not too surprised at God's response of giving the manna and the quail. But I think Moses must have been very surprised. The people are complaining. They're complaining about God. They're complaining about Aaron. They're complaining about Moses. Why didn't you just leave us alone? We were just fine being slaves in Egypt. We had food there. You just want us to die. You brought us here to make us die in the wilderness. And God says, "I'm going to rain down." And I bet Moses wasn't expecting what God was going to answer. "I'm going to rain down fire. I'm going to rain down big boulders." I mean, these people were really complaining against God. But God says, "I'm going to rain down bread." That's the miracle. God gives the people, totally gives the people what they need, not what they deserve. That's our miracle too. God always gives us what we need. But sometimes we don't see the miracles in our lives. If you want your manna to drop down from heaven looking like the perfect loaf of honey wheat sourdough bread from the bakery, chances are you're going to miss a lot of miracles. Chances are you're going to miss noticing the many blessings that God is raining down on you. But on the other hand, if you're willing to look at everything that comes to you as coming from God, then you will see that there's no end to the manna, to the blessings, to the abundance of mercy, to the grace that God is raining down on you. There are miracles at every turn. The good news is not that it's not what is it that counts. The good news is, who sent it? That's the good news. The good news is that God is always sending something to nourish us. God is giving us our daily bread, blessing us in simple and wonderful ways. Every day, God is made known to us in the simple things that sustain our lives. A bit of bread, someone to love, air to breathe, joy in our hearts, all those absolutely essential things that are as simple as daily bread and as transitory as manna in the desert. But we have to look for manna. We have to look for blessings, or we miss it. After Jesus fed the 5,000, they wanted to follow him, and they did follow him. They wanted to find him and get more of that miraculous bread. What they saw in that miracle of the loaves reminded them of those manna stories that they had heard from their ancestors, and they had found their own Moses now to work wonders for them. They wanted bread to fill their tummies. But Jesus knew that they needed more than that. He knew that they needed to feed their souls. So he gave them himself, the living bread, come down from heaven. And a lot of the people thought that was just so much bug spit. They wanted miracle food to fill their bellies, not a relationship with Jesus. They wanted wonder bread of Moses, like their ancestors. And Jesus explained it wasn't Moses that gave you the bread. It was God who gave it in the desert. And it is still God who gives the daily bread, the living bread, for us. Jesus is God's manna in the wilderness. In our wilderness, we don't have to be hungry, no matter how lost we might get on the journey. Jesus reminds us that day after day we live because God is providing for us. God is giving us food for our journey, food for our souls, the food of our daily bread. It most certainly is not what we deserve, but it is exactly what we need. A bit of bread, someone to love, air to breathe, joy in our hearts, and most of all, a relationship with a man named Jesus, who is our daily bread. Jesus, who invites us to be nourished and fed by the bread of life. This is not bug spit. This is God's good news for us today. True bread, the living bread, come down from heaven to nourish us. Thanks be to God that we are called to this place to reach out our hands to receive that living bread that brings us into that relationship with Jesus Christ that is our life. Amen.